Welcome to episode 302 of the Ski Podcast, and thanks for joining us for our latest Winter Olympics special. I'm your host, Ian Martin, and I am joined again today by Olympian and former Team GB ski across athlete, Emily Sarsfield. Hi, Emily, how are you?
Hi, Ian, nice to be back.
I understand it's still snowing very heavily in Mirabel.
Yeah, the Three Valleys are getting a lot of snow right now, which is great, but also chaotic at the moment with the mass amount of French holidaymakers and British holidaymakers in town all at once.
At least there is snow coming down. That is really important. I mean, sadly, it's evidently a pretty dangerous time to be skiing. And, you know, you definitely need to be safe out there if you are out there and listening to this podcast. Now, yesterday, we were able to speak about a medal for Team GB in the Team Snowball Cross, and we had high hopes we might see another from Kirsty Muir in the Ski Big Air. Sadly, that wasn't the case. Did you watch it, Emily?
I did. It was so sad, wasn't it? But also, I was super proud of her. She makes you feel like you're her big sister, no matter who it is. She's just like, you could see that she had so much good energy, and she was out there. She was pulling out of all her tricks and stuff. And it was just that final run. Obviously, she didn't quite pull it out.
I mean, she was in silver medal position going into the last jump. Then Eileen Gu kind of went back to form. Unusually, she'd put down a bad run. And then the Italian Tabanelli scored a massive 94. So if I understand it correctly, Kirsty knew she then needed to pull off a really great trick to be able to get back up into the medals. Now, I don't fully understand this, but this one expert said, I read this earlier, they said the judges have ranges for tricks. She was already maxed out on the available score for trick A. And while her score for trick B was high, it wasn't that clean a jump. So she had scope to increase. And that trick is scored in the 96-97 range before. And on run three, she tried to add in a new grab, which I understand was a blunt grab, that had she landed it, it would have asked serious questions of the judges. So, you know, she really went, I did record an episode with Ed Lee about how the judges do their scoring. And I have it in mind to do one after all of these and actually interview one of the judges and find out a little bit more about it. But that's how I understand it, why she went
right
for that particularly complex run on the third.
Because it's quite funny, isn't it? Because, obviously, Tim and Ed, experts in the area, but also James Webb and Woodsy, who were doing it on TNT, they've recent athletes, like, obviously, Woodsy was pretty much one of the best in the world. And they were also kind of, like, commenting on why a particular athlete didn't go and try and better trick A, but went for trick B. And as someone who doesn't really understand it, I was a bit like, yeah, I'm not really sure. And then obviously Kirsty went and did the same thing. So that explains it really quite well, Ian. So thank you for that.
That's good. We try to be helpful on the Ski Podcast, even to our presenters. Well, Kirsty is only 21. She's already been to two Olympics. I'm sure she'll be back for another one. Listen, if you'd like to know more about Kirsty and her recovery from injury, I'll put a link in the show notes to my interview with her from the start of this season. Now, I know so many of the athletes have their families with them. Most of them will be based in the Olympic Village. It's slightly different at these Olympics. But Emily, you went to the Pyeongchang Olympics, and you know, the stories we all read about the Olympic Village is about the number of condoms they provide our athletes. So putting this diplomatically, based on your observations, are they all needed?
I wouldn't know, Ian, but they do hand out a lot of condoms. You're right. In the dinner hall on the way in. Really bizarre. But no, I think the Olympic Village actually really, first and foremost, everyone's there to compete and like perform as athletes. And I think the village basically kind of like it's almost, I'm going to call it a jail, just because you have to be accredited in. You've got to go through security to get in. If you don't have your accreditation, you can't move around, you know. So basically this lanyard you see on all the athletes, that is kind of the one thing. You put on your pants in the morning and you put on your lanyard. You don't forget those. And literally everything's laid on for you. You know, there's cola or whatever machines everywhere. There's food halls. You can have anything you want. There might be a McDonald's and stuff. So, yeah, there's absolutely anything and everything. And Team GB do and most amazing setup to kind of make this little lounge for you to make it feel like home from home as much as possible.
I was a games maker at the 2012 Olympics, and I had a certain accreditation because one of my jobs was driving athletes to and fro. So I managed to get into the Olympic village, and I just tested that accreditation just to try and see where I could walk into and where I couldn't walk into. And I managed to get myself a free Powerade bottle, but I couldn't get into the dining hall and see if Usain Bolt was having McDonald's or anything like that. But there are freebies for the athletes, aren't there?
Yeah, no, totally. And there's one of the biggest things actually is this whole pin trading thing. And I think when you look at kind of athletes' Instagrams, you kind of see them go hashtag pin trading. But this is massive. So like literally you all get kind of given like about a dozen or 20 different pins, basically, which you can kind of like then trade with all the other different nations. And it's like, I mean, people take this seriously. The guys who compete at the early dates of the games, they can kind of spend the rest of their time going around trading all these pins. And it's kind of, yeah, that is a big, big contest. The other thing is, I mean, there's gyms in there. There's absolutely anything you could possibly need kind of in there. One thing which is like a little bit different for athletes, obviously, we've spoken about this before in those other episodes, Ian, but these are athletes who maybe there might only be Kirsty who's there doing the slopestyle and the big air for ski. And then there might be, you know, a half pack for year and then the snowboarders and stuff. And these people don't often see each other apart from kind of at the big contests. Or they might know each other from the British circuit, but suddenly you then have to room with these people. Like, for instance, I was roomed with a half pipe skier when I was at the games. And our schedules were so different. Like, she was doing night events. I was doing daytime events. Her event was really early in the game, so it finished. So then she was kind of ready to kind of like go party and really enjoy the atmosphere, whereas I was trying to get into the zone. It was really kind of like different to try and, I mean, they do absolutely everything to kind of try and match everyone up. But that's another thing you've got to adapt to as an athlete. You're suddenly put in a shared room and potentially a double bed with someone you've never met before. So it's very unique. But what's different about these games is it's not all in one place. It's obviously spread out between Cortina, Bormio, Livigno and what have you. So there's not specific kind of like these enclosed bubble of many, many like apartment blocks like you saw in London 2012 or like I had in Pyeongchang. It's more hotel bases. So I wonder how that is for the athletes.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be a different experience for them with the events across several different destinations. You mentioned Bormio just then. We mentioned the men's slalom yesterday. Our focus was on Dave Ryder. It's worth mentioning the Norwegian Atle McGrath. The Norwegian was lying in first place at the end of the first run. He was so upset when he straddled on the second run with a gold medal in his grasp. He flung his ski poles over the barriers and then stormed off halfway down the course and sat with his head in his hands on the edge of the forest. Now, that could look like he was just sulking, but as always, context is everything. He was pissed off for sure. He just missed out on that medal. But on the opening day of the games, his grandfather had died, and that definitely affected his mindset. And I don't know him well at all. I know that he wanted to do it for him, and you know, that was another reason why he was upset. While we're on slalom, let's look ahead to the women's slalom, which takes place on Wednesday. I spoke to Shemi Alcott last week to ask her for her predictions, so let's have a listen to that. Here again now with Shemi Alcott. Really excited about the women's slalom. I've got a pretty simple question about this one. Is there anyone out there who can beat Michaela Schifrin to the gold?
To beat Michaela Schifrin, the athletes will have to absolutely risk it all. And I think there's only a handful of athletes who are in confident enough form to even try and attempt that. If the course setter sets a really tight distance and not swingy course, so all into the foreline, that is Michaela Schifrin's least strongest attribute. I'm not going to say weakness because she's still better than the rest in the world. But if the course setter sets that, then the margin behind her will be closer. It will put pressure on her. And Cami Rast, I would say, is the only one. We know that she's the only one who's beaten her this year. But no, as much as I want Lindsey Vonn to podium, I want Michaela Schifrin to podium. And I think she really deserves it. especially after the Olympics 4 years ago.
It's worth noting that Michaela Schifrin won no medals in six races at Beijing. So she is really hoping for a change in luck here. Slalom is her specialist area. Do you follow the women's slalom, Emily?
Yeah, I do. And I follow her as an athlete a lot as well, because I just think that she should... just fallen off the chair. she shows like a pure grit and kind of determination and stuff. She's kind of gone through quite a lot in the past few years, both sporting wise but also kind of family wise as well. Yeah, I'd love to see her do really well, but I think what happened with missing out on all the medals in Beijing, I think that's going to hold a lot kind of psychologically over her, but I'm sure she would have been working on that to kind of try and not let that affect her. So fingers crossed, let's hope it happens.
Yeah, I mean, she just missed out with Breezy Johnson in the combined, where USA didn't win a medal there. That might play on her mind, but we'll find out. Also on events to look forward to is realistically Team GB's last chance of a medal on snow, and that is the women's ski halfpipe. Zoe Atkin has a great record. She's definitely on for a podium based on form, but we've seen already with Mia Brooks and Kirsty Muir that it's not as straightforward as that. Qualification is on Thursday with the final on Saturday. So we'll be looking out for that. There's one other event I'd like to mention. That's SkiMo. It's a new event taking place on Thursday. I highly recommend, listener, that you watch it. I love ski touring, but it's really only similar in the principle that competitors use skins. It is unbelievable what I've seen of SkiMo before. It's going to be very entertaining to watch. Emily, ever tried it?
No, absolutely not. And I know that you love this kind of thing, Ian. Like, Ian just runs up mountains for fun. And I very much prefer to kind of go down them with gravity behind me. But no, I was with Ian Innes, who's kind of the UK rep. I was with him the other week in Italy. Like you say, SkiMo is kind of a test event for the event. And they've made this like almost a sprint type thing. And they've only allowed 20 athletes in the world to go. So he's just missed outside of that, because he was explaining to me that essentially it's like the creme de la creme, and that's it, because he's doing really, really well in it as well, because he's really new to it. Amazing alpine skier, but he'll be commentating on it for TNT.
That's really interesting. I interviewed Ian last year. I'll put a link in the show notes to that. It's evident that he is a very fit man, and if you watch a SkiMo listener, you will realize they all are. You know, they work super hard. I wanted to mention someone else who leaves nothing out there. Andrew Musgrave represents Team GB in cross country. I've interviewed him before as well. I'll put a link in the show notes. He bagged his best ever Olympic result with sixth in the 10K interval start freestyle. But what impressed me more, and I think this tells you all you need to know about Muzzy, is he had to pause his interview with BBC Sport to vomit, put in so much effort into it. Do you know him at all?
One of our first training camps in 2005 was together. So we did this cross-sport training camp out in Innsbruck. And obviously Muzzy, I'll excel at very different things to what I excel out, again, because he likes running up mountains. Phenomenal athlete, but obviously like always just super chirpy. And he when you look at some of the things on social media and the internet on their training, because they put a few little snippets on there, like what they push their bodies through is absolutely phenomenal. He is one hell of an athlete, Ian.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, he'll be competing tomorrow morning on Wednesday. As you know, I like doing lots of running and things like that. Some listeners will know what VO2 means. And if you look at VO2 max results, typically you find that cross-country skiers have the highest VO2 max scores out of anyone. Right. We will be back on Friday to discuss the women's skier cross, which Emily will be commentating on for TNT and Discovery Plus. Plus, we'll reflect on those SkiMo events and how halfpipe qualification went for Zoe Atkin. So, listener, if you've enjoyed this episode, I'd love to know. You can leave a comment on Spotify, Instagram or Facebook. Our handle is @theskipodcast, or drop me an email to skipodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow us on WhatsApp for exclusive material released ahead of each podcast. And if you're booking ski hire this winter, don't forget you can get an additional discount if you use the code SKIPODCAST when you book at insportrent.com. There's a link in the show notes for that. Right, for now, I'd like to thank Emily for joining me again. Thank you, Emily.
See you later, Ian. Thank you.
Well, I'll be hearing your voice in the commentary before we meet up.
You'll all have to tune in to TNT so you can hear all the commentary. Pretty much the best sport, if I'm a little bit biased, Ian, in the Olympic Games.
That's brilliant. Thank you, Emily. And finally, listener, thank you for joining us wherever in the world you're listening right now. And until next time, goodbye.